If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
And this is Dr. Mike. You're listening to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show on RadioMD.com. One of the books we're talking about today is Benjamin Gilmore's, it's a great book, Paramedico, Around the World by Ambulance. I couldn't put it down. It was so riveting in the writing style. So Ben Gilmore, you have an extra wonderful talent in writing in addition to being a paramedic. But he is an Australian paramedic who for 15 years worked ambulance services in America, England, Iceland, Macedonia, Mexico, Pakistan, the Philippines, South Africa, and Thailand. And by far the one that I related to most was the one in South Africa. I should say that one of the things I did is that when I was way back when, this is in 1973, maybe 72, in Cambridge City in Boston, Massachusetts, or near Boston, Massachusetts. Cambridge City is across the river. I rode in an ambulance for about a week trying to learn what they did, and in fact, the settings are so real that the ones you bring up, Benjamin Gilmore, are exactly the same. I also was privileged to work for 2 weeks when I was well into my career in probably 1991 or two in Baraguana, which is the hospital you delivered many patients to across from Soweto in Johannesburg, what's called Joburg in South Africa. And so the stories were really real there, and you described them beautifully. What did you think of your time there?
Yeah, well, it was quite an eye-opener, Dr. Mike, in Johannesburg. And coming from Australia, we don't really have much violence down here. We don't have a gun culture, and we certainly don't have the murder rate that Johannesburg in South Africa has and has had. And so, it you know, riding out with the paramedics there was quite an eye-opener. And I worked at Barrow Granite Hospital for a little bit as well, and it was really quite horrific. I mean, you would think that in that environment, paramedics would be worried about getting shot, and of course they are, because sometimes people, you know, snipe at them, and a lot of the paramedics wear bulletproof vests. I had to wear a bulletproof vest on a regular basis. Some of the paramedics are even armed. However, their greatest fear, particularly paramedics working around the townships, was hepatitis C, HIV, and those are communicable diseases that come with regular exposure to blood from trauma. And I found that very interesting, that when in sub-Saharan Africa you've got potentially more than 20% of the population who are HIV positive, that's a natural concern for paramedics who are working in an environment where the majority of their emergencies involve blood and blood exposure. So these things came up, which I found really interesting, and they made their way into the book.
Right, and in a brilliant way you wrote about this, and I found it really absolutely both riveting and excellent. The other thing you talk about in this area, if you will, just the size of Baraguana. Just imagine the largest of the U.S. hospitals from a standpoint of number of births per year is maybe around 20,000. Baraguana had 63,000. And the number of emergency, what we call C-sections, etc., and any Friday night, there were 10 or 12 going on, and one anesthesiologist running from room to room to room to room to try and keep up, while one anesthesiologist, and for the 10 or 12 patients. And the same thing for the trauma. I mean, there must have been 10 trauma rooms that were full knife and gun club, all out life or death struggles in those rooms.
Well, that's it. And 24 hours. I mean, I remember Joburg General Hospital, 24 hours. They had six trauma bays with full surgical teams on standby, or actually conducting surgery, you know, around the clock. And when you think that not just the gun crime, but even a simple motor vehicle accident in a country where you have minibuses that are typically, you know, full of people, sometimes a dozen people. Say you've got a minibus with 10 people having a head-on collision with another minibus of 10 people. So you go to a motor vehicle accident in Johannesburg, and you're dealing with 20 casualties, and some, and you know, at high speed, some of them are very critical. So these patients are coming in all the time by ambulance. And I remember arriving on scene at an incident where a big semi-trailer, a big semi, went through a restaurant. And there were people lying everywhere. It was absolute mayhem. And the paramedics I was working with at the time were so calm and so cool because to them it was very normal, because this is something they deal with on a daily basis.
Now, the other one, there's another city you loved working in, I think, or it comes out in the book how much enthusiasm you have, is Venice.
Yes. Well, I mean, there are a lot of interesting things about the Venetian chapter. And, I mean, the book is in, you know, it's not a clinical book. It's about the adventures that I have with paramedics and the challenges that they face around the world in different places. And Venice is a particular city because, to a large extent, paramedics there are still operating in the way that perhaps Napoleon's medics used to operate in the day, albeit they've got mobs on their ambulance boats. In the old days, they used to have ambulance gondolas. But in any case, they still face the problem of high tide. Now, when the tide in Venice is high, the ambulance boats can't fit under many of the bridges, so therefore they can't proceed to the emergency. Like, at least they can't get close to an emergency. So that's a problem. The other problem is in the winter. Throughout the year there can be flooding, particularly in the winter, a flooding of the alleyways, and you know, a good percentage of Venice goes underwater. So the paramedics actually have to don fly fishing boots to wade, you know, sometimes half an hour through the small alleyways to reach the patient, fling the patient on their shoulders and wade back to the boat. And it's quite a challenge, you know, something that we in Australia or America or England never really have to face.
Now, the other one of the other cities, and by the way, I can't say how much fun this book is. Whether you have any relationship to medicine or just want to read a fast read that's fun, Paramedico, Paramedico. Let me ask you a couple more questions. Has it turned into a movie now?
Yes, well, it is. In four of the cities, namely Lahore in Pakistan, I've helped with the ambulance service development there in Lahore, and it's really quite a Pakistan is a fascinating country. I mean, there's always something going on there. You know, there's never a dull moment. And then Mexico City, of course, Mexico is facing the narco problems with the narcotics, and they've got a lot of violence there. And then Hawaii, and so in some of these places, I took a camera and I filmed a documentary. The documentary is now available for viewing from our website, paramedico.com.au.
So we're going to have to go. All I can say is this is a great book, Paramedico by Benjamin Gilmour, G-I-L-M-O-U-R.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamins C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800, or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good tasting and all natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's O-M-E-G-A, TakeOmega.com.